So join me in your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 11 as we're continuing our Bible study in Luke chapter 11. And last week we were in the verses 27 through 32, and we kind of leaped out. We left a little bit out of the middle of that because I wanted to circle back on that by itself. Because the primarily this had to do with the Lord talking about the sign of Jonah being assigned to the Ninevites, and how at the sign of Jonah the Ninevites repented, and how that the generation that was there present with him at the time would not repent, and he said, "This is an evil generation, and they seek a sign, but there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." Luke 11, verse 30. And in verse 32, he said, "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation." The Ninevites were Gentile people that heard the gospel from Jonah, and he said, "They shall rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." And so a Gentile nation repented at the preaching of the gospel, and yet the gospel had been declared so openly, and the witness of the Lord was so plain and clear, and yet it said a greater than Jonas is here, and yet they repented not. And so now we go to, in our text today, dealing with verse 31. "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear this wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." So we have a greater than prophet than Jonas, a greater one with greater wisdom than Solomon. And of course we know that Solomon, the Lord gave him his wisdom, and we'll read that from the Old Testament here in just a bit. But and again, this queen of the south, another Gentile. I was looking in my references on that, and this, she's called the Queen of Sheba in the Old Testament, and that they attribute that to that Sheba and Dedan to being in Arabia, with Dedan being more in the central part of Arabia, and Sheba being down at what we would say is modern day Yemen, down on the tip of the Arabian Peninsula. And that's where they attribute her, and it was kind of an area that was had a busy trade business going on, and so it says she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And the greater than Solomon that was there, his wisdom was ignored. And he was right in the midst of them. You know, he in this earlier part in verse 18 of chapter 11, where they accuse him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, and he says, "Well, that makes no sense." And he reasons with them logically and says, "Well, a kingdom divided against itself can't stand," and so forth. And then he says, "But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." And yet they didn't recognize it. They just said, "Okay, well, we need to catch him at some other thing that we can condemn him for." So, it's hard to find a place to start here, but I was talking to Norman about this morning, and and we were talking about Solomon, and he says, look at all the things that came about to have Solomon be born. You know, the knavery of David involved in the murder of Uriah the Hittite, and all that that came about. And it was mindful of Joseph that said, you know, you meant it for evil, but God worked it for good to save much people alive. And we find Solomon being in the lineage of our Lord. So it was all according to the purpose of God. And so we go back to that part. And you know, Wednesday night, our pastor was bringing this lesson on the Anointed One. And he brought out a verse from Isaiah 55. And Isaiah 55, verse 9, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And you know, natural man is always trying to bring God down to their level and make him, assign to him characteristics and attributes and thoughts and ways that are mimic their own, and they justify themselves through that. But he says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Well, you know, we find in this block of scripture here that the word, he sent the word down to the Queen of Sheba, to the Queen of the South. And, you know, he also read a New Testament verse that will play into what we're going to study. There, you know, it just struck me as I read this, and the more I studied and the more I looked at the very principles and truths that were put forth throughout this block of scripture, you just find them all over in the Bible, and they're all the same truth. They're just in different circumstances, but they all relay the same basic truths and the same gospel narrative. And in John chapter 4, verse 25, from Pastor Norm's lesson on the Anointed One Wednesday night, he was at that well with that woman, and she was giving him all the religious falderal, and he set her straight. The woman, in verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, and yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Remember, he told her, he says, where's your husband? And she says, well, I don't have a husband. And he says, yeah, five times. Five times the man you're with now is not your husband. And he told her things that she didn't think that he probably could perceive, because at that time her eyes were uncircumcised, her ears were uncircumcised, and yet by the end of the time that she dealt with the Lord there and he dealt with her, she says, is this not the Christ? Is this not the Messiah, the Anointed One? And he says, he told me all things that ever I did. And not only that, but she said, come see. Come see. The same thing that some of the disciples said. Come see. Come see. We found the Messiah. So that truth, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. You know that the Lord, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when he convicts us of sins, he kind of brings all that to our mind. All things ever I did that were our own self-righteousness, our own animosity toward him, our own enmity against him, and yet he overcomes all that. So we'll look at that principle again as we look at this dealing with the Queen of the South. And the Old Testament reference from the Lord for today's text comes to us from 1 Kings chapter 10. So would you turn over to your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 10, the first 13 verses. And then we're going to back up a little bit from that just to solidify in our mind a few things, a few basic truths. So in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1 through 13. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, and here's a place where you can get your pencil out and underline this, because it's often overlooked here. It's when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She heard something. You know, right there we just have to stop and say, what did Solomon say concerning the name of the Lord? You know, and we could go over to Isaiah chapter 9 and read a few things about him. Name is wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. And so we have to say that by the evidence here that Solomon had proclaimed some things about the name of the Lord, about the gospel. And so she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and she came to prove him with hard questions. And we'll look at that here a little bit. And in verse 2, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report. That's that'd be the title of our message for today, a true report. It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. But remember, it was concerning the name of the Lord. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Boy, you could just say that about somebody that heard and saw all the things that Christ did, and when they came and were regenerated, they could just say the same thing. It wasn't anything. It was all that I heard. It was nothing. And John wrote in, he said, you know, if all the things that he did were recorded, there just wouldn't be enough ink and paper and enough places to record it all. Thy wisdom, thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are thy servants. Boy, what a picture of the Lord's people there. Which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighteth in thee. You know, there had to be some change for her to make a statement like that. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. You know, you don't come to that kind of a statement without being regenerated. You don't talk about an eternal significance with any spiritual understanding without it being revealed to you. The Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store and precious stones. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to the King Solomon. And then I'd like to read also, it's also recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. So if you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 9, it's pretty much the same, but there's a few extra things in there that we'd like to call your attention to. Second Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1 through 12. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem. Excuse me. With a very great company, with camels that bear spices, and gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it." Kind of reminds you who said, "I've heard about you with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes have seen thee." The half was not told. The greatness of thy wisdom was not told, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne to be king. For the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever, therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, great abundance and precious stones. Neither was there any such spices as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And then I want to read down through verse 12 here. And the servants also of Huram and the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. And the king made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord and to the king's palace, and harps and psalteries for singers, and there were none such seen before in the land of Judah. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which she had brought to the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants. Boy, you know, if you turned over to Genesis and you read about Joseph and his brothers coming to him because there was a famine in the land, and they went down there, and you know, he didn't make himself known to them right away, and he had all their beasts of burden loaded with corn. And he took all the stuff that they brought down there to buy that food with. He stuck it in there with the food. So they went away with more than they came with. They had what they brought plus the food that then they were all worried. They said, "Uh-oh, he's going to think we stole all this back." So they had a little trouble with that, but he set them straight. You know, it's kind of the same thing here. She went back with more than she came with. And isn't that just the way of it is with salvation? We think we come to the Lord with stuff, but we come with nothing. We have no merit of our own. We have nothing, and we walk away after he saves us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. More than, it can't be compared with anything. So I'd like to back up a little bit now that we've read these two reports about the Queen of Sheba coming down there, and some of the things that is mentioned here I wanted to examine. But a little background on Solomon here, which will aid us in grasping this true spiritual context of this in Luke. You know, all this is not by accident. She didn't hear the word by accident. She didn't come to Solomon by accident. And the Lord, who caused the Old Testament to be written and who was causing the New Testament to be written, it was all according to his purpose and will that this be recorded, and that the things that she experienced be noted down for our benefit, for our edification. So let's back up a little bit here to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, and we're just going to read this one verse regarding the birth of Solomon. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and we already talked about how that marriage came to be. And he went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. The Lord loved Solomon before the child had done any evil or good, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. And you know, the Lord spoke to David regarding who would reign after him, despite the skullduggery going on, you know, in David's family and his life. You know, they were all plotting against him. Adonijah exalted himself as king, and the prophet had to come in and say, hey, you know what, Bathsheba, the Lord said that your son would be the king, and we need to go talk to David about this. And you probably remember those stories from the kings, but the Lord spoke to David about who would be the king. And let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, and beginning in verse 11. 1 Chronicles 17 in verse 11. And it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers. This is the Lord speaking to David. That I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. And boy, I want you to pay close attention to the metaphor, the spiritual metaphors that are brought out here in verse 12 and 13. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. And then let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and we'll read three verses there. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 8. But the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and this is David talking, and he's talking about that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house to my name. And that was David's desire. He wanted to build this house to the Lord, and the Lord says, no. He says, thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born unto thee, who shall be a man of rest. Again, we have these spiritual pictures, these metaphors, speaking of the Christ. Excuse me. He shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. That means his Solomon. The name Solomon means peaceful. His name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. What a spiritual metaphor for the Lord, of the Prince of Peace, the one who brings peace with God. Not just peace from a physical aspect, but peace with God, the peace that counts. In verse 10, 1 Chronicles 22:10, he shall build a house for my name, And he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Boy, what a picture there. Amen. And so now, years later, Solomon is anointed king, and boy, it kind of reminded me of the Wednesday night lesson, because David recognized that Adonijah was trying to through skullduggery, assume the throne and everything. He says, man, I got to stop this right away. So he called Nathan the prophet, and he says, I want you to bring up my mule. And the mules were not allowed to be bred in Israel. They were crossbreeding was not allowed, but they were imported, and they were very expensive and valuable. And he says, you put Solomon on my mule, and you take him where I tell you, and when you get there, you anoint him king, and you say, long live the king, and it'll be done. So now he's been made king, anointed king by Nathan there, and you can find that in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 34, if you want to look that up and read it later. But now we go to the prayer of Solomon after the Lord anointed him as king. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, and Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Boy, what a deal. 1,000 burnt offerings. Can you just imagine? Just reminded me, you know, all that drainage and stuff went down that brook Kidron there that you know, the Lord had to step over on his way up into the garden there. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me a king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. You know, it's just the Lord gave him wisdom and knowledge and all these things, and he knew that. He knew from whence it came. He didn't say, well, I got these by my own hand. If you go to Ecclesiastes, he says, you know, I spent a lot of time reading and trying to reason things out by the words of men and stuff, but it was all useless. Wisdom and knowledge came from the Lord. It was revealed unto him, and he was given that gift. And so now we come to this Queen of the South, this Gentile. And we have this sneaker verse that we often read, but we overlook that part that says, the Queen of Sheba heard of the famous Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Boy, I think that, you know, we having read all the things that we just read about Solomon's, the Lord speaking to David, the Lord speaking to Solomon, his prayer and the answer of it, and all the things that transpired, I think it sheds more spiritual light on what she heard. He had to say those things, you know. The Lord said that I would be made king. The Lord spoke it before I was born. And when I was born, he said he loved me before I did anything. And he did plenty of wrong stuff later on. You know, he's just like his dad. You know, he set up altars in high places for all these other women that he got involved with, and excuse me. But you know, she heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and she came to prove him with hard questions. You know, there's some things here that we can just highlight. She heard, she came, she asked. She heard. She was caused to hear the report. You know, we read that in Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It will go where I send it, and it will accomplish the purpose. So we have to say that he caused the word to go down to Sheba, and the purpose that he had was that she would come and visit Solomon, and it would be for a record. And she came. And you know, the scripture says that no man comes unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And she asked hard questions. And you know that word, hard questions, the meaning of that word is, it means kind of regarding a puzzle. She asked hard questions. So I don't think she came there and said, okay, what's the square root of 1,462,000 divided by 6? she heard of his fame concerning the name of the Lord. So I think that her questions, her hard question, her, it says that meaning of that word is regarding a puzzle. And you know, the Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I like what it said in the bulletin there. I don't have it in front of me here, but a hard question was, how can a man be just before God? How can that be? Well, it's a mystery. It's a mystery that he is the just and the justifier through the blood of Christ, who his son. She had questions. You know, it says she had questions to which Solomon knew before she asked them. It says he told her all her questions. And that word told means to manifest, to announce, or to make known. So if we look at that with that definition in mind, Solomon made known to her all her questions. Wouldn't that be, that takes us back to come see a man that told me all things I did. That same biblical principle that we found there in John, we find here back in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 10 in verse 3. Solomon told her all her questions, and there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. You know what the scripture says? All things are naked and open to him with whom we have to do. That's what this Bible says about the Lord. There's nothing hid from him. And you know, throughout Luke we said Jesus knowing their thoughts, Jesus knowing their hearts, Jesus knows. He knew. They were not pulling the wool over his eyes about anything. She said it was a true report. And you know, that calls to mind what Isaiah wrote in chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, we have to say that the Queen of Sheba believed the report. She said it was a true report. And, you know, there's another section in your bulletin here about from Gary Shepherd that said, you know, we just can't spend enough time, or there's not enough time to spend refuting error. He says that what we have to do is just bring the truth and it'll take care of all that. And the truth will overcome all of that. Who hath believed our report? Well, she believed the report, the truth. And remember that key part of verse 1 of 1 Kings 10. She heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And she said in 1 Kings 10:6, It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. And I'm sure that it wasn't, well, Solomon said, I'm pretty smart now, and I did all this, and I've gotten all this by my own hand. We read all the things that he, in his prayer, that he, when he spoke to the Lord. And he's probably, when it all was said and done, he probably like, when did I do that? You know, he didn't take the credit for any of that stuff. He gave the praise to the Lord God Almighty. She says, howbeit I believed not the words till I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Boy, what a picture of our Lord. Now, since the Lord was the source of Solomon's wisdom, and the queen of the south reported what she had heard was not half of what she witnessed, you know, the Lord says back in our text verse in Luke 11:31, he said, a greater than Solomon is here. She came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and greater than Solomon is here. We had this same verse kind of scribbled down in our notes, Norman and I, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, says, but of him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ is made unto us wisdom. And boy, you know, if you just want to spend 3 or 4 days or weeks or months looking up all the verses that talk about the wisdom and of God, then you wouldn't exhaust the supply there. Ephesians 3:10 says, to the intent now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know that, well, a long time ago we had a Bible class, and it had to do with that word manifold and grace, and we looked at the rainbow as the symbol of grace, and how it was 7 primary colors in the rainbow that we can see, and that the spectrum of light and colors is infinite. But we can see those 7 primary colors, and there's various combinations of them that we can distinguish. And researchers say that we can see about 100 shades of each color, lighter, darker, more intense. And in combination, we can distinguish about 1 million different variations. But the spectrum of light and colors in the electromagnetic spectrum are infinite. And that's just a picture of that manifold wisdom of God. We can just see this much. But it's just way more than we can comprehend. It expands more than we can think. What a picture of grace. We can see now only a part. As Paul said, you know, we just see through a glass darkly now. But someday we shall know even as we are known. So in today's lesson, a greater than Solomon is here, and may we praise God for his infinite wisdom in the provision of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, for his electing love and his unspeakable gift of salvation by grace alone. You know, I was thinking, I wrote this in my notes here after I got here, but she left with more than she came, and we talked about what happened in Genesis chapter 42, where Joseph loaded their donkeys with corn, and then he put in all their money. And we were talking about how we find these spiritual truths virtually everywhere we go in the scripture. And as I wrote that, I was thinking, you know, that's what it says in Ezekiel 36:29. I will call for the corn. They came down from a land of famine. and Joseph gave them the corn. I will call for the corn, and there will be no more famine. Isn't that interesting how that principle is the same principle of the gospel? All right, well, I'll stop for now, and as always, thank you for your attention, and be free. John 8:31.